brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, so we're going to have Vicky Karp in studio with us and an expert on election fraud. We'll go over his bio when we get back from the break. Very interesting information with Bruce O'Dell, and he's here to testify in front of the legislature here in Austin, Texas. We'll tell you about that upcoming event as well. Right now, I'm told out of the big call list, we've got somebody who disagrees, so they'll go to the head of the line. Which one of these callers says he disagrees with me? Mark in New York, you're on the air. Go ahead, Mark.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead and make your point.
Yeah, I agree with you that 9/11 was an inside job, but I disagree that classical demolition charges were the only thing that brought the towers down. I thoroughly believe, and the reason I believe this
Reptoid
is because
space beams.
Pools of steel that were in the basement, still molten actual steel pools 4 months after in December down there, I thoroughly believe there was a nuclear device in there. Thoroughly, two of them in both towers.
Well, we actually on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com have a link to a scientist in the UK who got some of the published government readings and is pointing towards that. And who knows? I mean, there is some evidence towards that. I thought you were going to talk about X-ray lasers from Pluto or something.
No, nothing like that. And I agree with everything you say, but I just don't understand what could make molten pools of steel stay superheated like that 4 months after the initial attack itself, the initial collapse, I mean.
Well, I believe it was 2.5 to 3 months. It was about
that's still a very long time. Thank you for your time.
Hey, thank you. No, I've been talking about the molten steel at 25 to 2700 degrees for almost 3 months after the 9/11 attacks. With jet fuel that burns at a maximum of 1,800 degrees, and you had cold fires, red fires with black smoke, and you had people standing next to four-foot-around support beams for 20 minutes waving for help who didn't melt. Their skin didn't burn, but the giant pillars, they say, melted. Now, first FEMA said they melted, and then scientists said, well, that's impossible. And they said, well, they weakened. And they said, well, the fireproofing, we've done testing, that doesn't happen. Well, the planes knocked that off, and then, oh, that didn't work. And so then we said, well, what about Building 7? And they've given five different reasons it fell, claiming that 25% of the building got knocked down by the North Tower. That turned out to be a fraud. NIST has backed off of that. Doesn't stop the feds and the media and Fox News. They still say that. And there's a lot of serious issues there. And that's all Rosie O'Donnell's been doing, is asking the question and saying, how did this happen? And then they're calling for her arrest. Mark Cuban, the owner of the Dallas Mavericks, who's financing a film about it, his arrest. They're calling for her to be hung for treason and killed. And that was MSNBC on Scarborough Country. We played those clips. And that's because they're losing the debate. You know, they lied about WMDs premeditatedly. They lied about so many things that now people don't believe them on other issues. And they're just going to have to face the music on that. And the bottom line is they've only got about 25% maximum support for the Iraq war now. They have about as much support for the Iran war. But they don't care. They want to go forward with this. Really, it's a Ponzi scheme. They're in so much trouble for things that they have previously done that it's kind of a catch-22. They're going to end up going to prison for some of the things they've done, or there's going to be indictments. There have been indictments. There's other investigations going on. And they'll probably get them for something small, like the U.S. attorneys, small compared to some of the other things, or lying to Congress, Enron connections, all these things bubbling back up. Or Bernard Kurik right now has been indicted for lying in Congress when he was wanting to become Homeland Security Director. So they kind of need a big war to get back in that position of, we're in a war, an expanded war, you can't question us. It's kind of like Hitler got in trouble on his front against England in North Africa, so he turns east against Russia. Well, you're seeing that same desperate gamble to puff the either the Ponzi scheme gets bigger or it implodes. Our guest in studio on the other side.
6 year after a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film Terror Storm is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, the White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at InfoWars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Times are tough right now, but there are a lot of different ways to get ourselves out of this mess. Providing for our own food, water, and power are a good start. As you may have heard by now, Ken Solar has been configuring alternative energy packages for over a decade. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar-powered generator. For a lot less than you'd expect, this portable system can chop up nearly a third of your electric bill. Getting yourself onto solar power is one of the most liberating things you can do for yourself and your family. The solar-powered generator will run your lights, fan, electric blanket, your refrigerator, and a whole slew of household items. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos and how-tos, and of course, the new solar-powered generator. Enter the GCN coupon code during your order and save an additional 10%. Get a solar-powered generator now from kensolar.com. That's kensolar.com.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, she's written Hack, High-Tech Election Theft in America. 11 experts expose the truth. And it was edited by Abby Waldman, Delosier, and Vicky Karp. Vicky Karp is in studio with us. We carry the book, Hacked, High-Tech Election Theft in America, on the online video and bookstore at InfoWars.com, and I hope you get it, because to really understand election fraud in the United States is to understand the big picture. And yes, it's daunting, it's scary, it's hard to believe, but it's systematic, and it's going on with military precision. And joining us is Bruce O'Dell. And his biography is lengthy. It's probably better than just reading all of the work you've done in Control Data Corporation on research and development of artificial intelligence, robot vision systems, and satellite imagery analysis, and you know all the other large-scale computer systems with stringent security, audit, and accountability requirements, and some of the major companies like General Motors and many others, American Express, that you've been a lead software architect for. I need to get you for some of my IT stuff, if I couldn't afford you, though. Just explain to us in a nutshell your background and then how you woke up to what's happening with our elections, Bruce.
Well, my background is mostly in the financial services industry, and I've spent my career basically being responsible for protecting billions, even trillions of dollars of other people's money, and people tend to get touchy about their own money and insist that you protect it properly. The mindset that I bring to analyzing the security issues around elections is, I think, completely different than a lot of my academic colleagues. A number of them make a very comfortable living consulting for or working with the electronic voting industry. I'm self-employed and have no agenda, and no one can make me do or say anything that I don't think is appropriate or true. So I first became concerned about electronic voting issues shortly after the 2000 election, when I saw all of the problems that occurred, particularly with punch card voting in Florida. It was clear that the exit polls in Florida, which initially indicated Gore had carried the state, later were reversed.
And they've always been accurate in the past, but this time they said, oh, never mind those.
Well, as it turns out, up until 1990, for a period of at least 15 to 20 years, exit polls were routinely accurate. There was only one case that was caught and not publicly disclosed in the 1990s. It's never been officially admitted what that one error in the 1990s was. I suspect it may have been the surprising and totally unexpected upset victory of Chuck Hagel in Nebraska, beating the popular incumbent Governor Ben Nelson for U.S. Senate.
And, of course, he lied and said that he didn't own any stock in the company, and it turned out he was one of the prime controllers of the voting machine company that, 80% of the ballots were cast on?
Exactly. He never disclosed that. In fact, not until shortly after his reelection in 2002 with 83% of the vote. So, clearly, exit polls were historically very, very accurate. They were a tool that are used elsewhere around the world.
So, if I owned a voting machine company, I could automatically become a senator if I could just get it put in my district.
Well, that certainly is a reasonable conclusion to draw. None of this can be proven, unfortunately, to the degree necessary, to convict someone in a court of law, at least not yet. But the individual pattern of the facts, the more you look at them, the pattern of facts is highly consistent with a long-term covert campaign to systematically subvert electronic voting in America.
Unbelievable. I've been following this for about 12, 13 years on air, and there's the old classic ballot box stuffing. Republicans have done it. Democrats have done it. Mm-hmm. LBJ got into Congress right here in Texas down the road, stuffing the ballot box. That's admitted. Kennedy stole Chicago.
Even so, Kennedy still would have been elected president.
Sure, sure.
And in fact, Nixon was no saint.
Oh, they were busy doing it, too.
Yeah, the only reason he didn't contest the election is he knew he had his own set of states that were equally suspect.
In the past, it was localized, it was sporadic.
That's due to technology. See, for the first time in history, you can have one or a very few individuals alter the master copy of voting software that gets copied out to thousands, tens of thousands, potentially hundreds of thousands of devices. And some of my colleagues that support electronic voting are saying, well, there's absolutely no way that a hacker could compromise these systems, but they totally miss the point that the threat isn't from hackers, it's not from outsiders, although there's plenty of security flaws in the existing machines that seem intended to allow county election officials a little bit of leeway with the vote totals. But that to one side, you can have one or a few people change the outcome or the programming of thousands of machines, and that's unique. That's the first time it's been possible to do that.
That's what always frustrates me about watching the television news or reading the headline, hackers could get in. No, we're worried about the very corporations, many of which are openly saying, I swear that I will deliver the electoral votes in Ohio to your lordship. And it's the director of Diebold. And then lo and behold, we see massive fraud in Ohio. I mean, this is so obvious. And it's blatant. And then we've had engineers, as at different companies go public and say, listen, they said they wanted to hire me to steal elections or hire me to design this where it could be hacked or taken over. And then let's go back, because I know I'm digressing here or actually going down rabbit trails and jumping ahead at the same time. Bruce O'Dell, a computer expert. And again, going back, so you're an expert in computer technology, in financial systems, and the point's been made, I believe you've made it in some articles I've read, that we demand that the ATM be 100% accurate, and we demand a receipt there, and we demand accounting, and if there's a mistake, there's hell to pay, and you've got, really billions of transactions globally a day with these ATMs and other financial systems, probably tens of billions, and there's not a lot of problems, but then with these other systems, there's always, quote, problems, special teams coming in, weird wire systems. They say you can't look under the hood. Even the government can't, see what's involved here. So in this process, let's go through it. You see what happens in 2000. What gets you thinking? What gets you researching?
Well, I guess I started checking out, checking into the literature, and in fact, there have been problems reported, suspicious anomalies going back to the 1960s when mainframe computers were first used to tally votes, and through the 1980s as optical scan and punch card equipment began to become widely used. Then in the late 1990s and 2000s, in the aftermath of the Help America Vote Act, an Orwellian law, if ever there was one, rather than helping America vote, what happened is we unleashed at federal government expense a wave of brand new electronic voting equipment all around the country, with all of which is essentially vulnerable to a wide open to insider manipulation.
Now wait a minute, these global corporations that are moving to Dubai and paying off the government to hand over the roads and the infrastructure, they wouldn't position themselves as an electronic voting machine company. Now, and of course, it's totally secret. We're not allowed to know, and there's all these anomalies. But let's just trust them. I mean, they don't want more power. They wouldn't try to circumvent the people in the biggest superpower there is to use that as an engine of global domination. I mean, that's just crazy. History shows you should trust elites and just and just let them operate in the dark.
Well, a lot of people in my position and in the election integrity movement that are saying, look, there's something really bad going on here, are accused of being conspiracy theorists and being paranoid. But in the world I work in, you're not paranoid if they are out to get your money. And in fact, I'm paid to be a professional paranoid because everybody acknowledges.
My God, we have to fight scams every day where there's fake orders and just in my regular life, I've had some other guy named Alex Jones in Minnesota who had a bookstore and he'd gotten over a year like $8,000 of videotape orders, and we found out about it. I mean, it's just in my own life, it's constant.
Right, but somehow when it comes to elections, now elections, determine who runs who gets to spend the world's largest procurement budget, who exercises the world's only superpower military, who gets to put their people on the Supreme Court. Clearly, voting software is the greatest target for insider, the most irresistible target for insider manipulation in the history
of the world. And lo and behold, Chuckie Schumer and George Bush get together with a $6+ billion funding package and have these special machines that they want to give to all the communities. And we should just trust them. Again, I don't know what your problem is, Bruce. And you too, Vicky. How dare you?
I know.
You're un-American. I bet O'Reilly would say that. You're un-American for asking questions. You think your government or anybody would cheat you? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, again, we're in a position where we actually have to trust the vendors that they're actually tallying the vote correctly. We have very, very few things that we can do to try and find out what's really happening. One of them is exit polls, as I mentioned. Years and years of reliability, suddenly in 2000, the key state, the exit poll is wrong. Well, of course, 2 years later, there's a midterm elections in 2002. Exit polls are done in midterm elections. The same company says, oh, we screwed up in Florida. We are going to get it right in 2002. We're going to revamp our procedures. We're going to revamp our people.
Don't you worry.
Don't you worry. And in 2002, there were no exit polls released. The Voter News Service, the company that sponsored the exit polls since the 1980s,
Very secretive group. Yeah.
They went out of business. They never released their exit polls, and the reason they didn't is because all over the country they were calling races for Democratic candidates in Senate and governor races where the Republican candidates won in Georgia and in Minnesota, in Alabama, and in other states, and the results were so far different than the exit poll results were so far different than the official tally.
Well, look, it's really simple.
The company imploded.
Exactly. When you've got 75% in the average poll out there against the Republican policies, and Democrats only have a slight victory when it should have been the biggest landslide in the last 100 years, you got elections being stolen, period.
Through the years of providing water filters to America, you've come to us and we've listened. You asked us to make the water level visible to eliminate the guesswork when refilling the water. We listened. You asked for an elevated base so the system could be used in places beside on the edge of a counter. We listened. You asked us to develop a filter that was made in the USA. We listened. You asked us to include an emergency light for camping and during power outages. We listened. After 9/11, you asked us to develop a filter that was more powerful in removing chemical agents. Again, we listened. Introducing the Berkey Light, the gravity filter requested by America, designed by Americans, and made in America.
Get the Berkey Light, the American water purifier, only $279. Call New Millennium, 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438, or order on the web at berkeywater.com. Not yet available in Iowa.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimonial of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
We at The Bible Says want to alert the world to the topic of the Mark of the Beast. Soon it will be upon us as an overwhelming surprise. The world is pressing toward a forced one-world religion. The real issue behind this is the union of church and state, nullifying our First Amendment. Americans will have to give up their peculiar beliefs and accept what the new world religious leaders prescribe. In 2005, President Bush signed the Real ID Act, which goes into effect May 11, 2008. Many people believe that this will be the mark of the beast because of the restrictive measures included, which seems to parallel the no buying and selling of Revelations 13:17. In Revelations 14:9, speaking of the mark of the beast, it says, "If any man worship the beast, take notice." It says, "Worship the beast." This issue is about worship, not economics. For a better understanding of this very important topic and to receive your three free books and a free DVD, call 1-888-211-1715. That's 1-888-211-1715.
It's a fact. You can legally eliminate credit card debt, which has been fraudulently created by the banks. Since its creation in 1913, the Federal Reserve has not been held responsible for its own debt. So why should you, the hardworking American, be harassed for yours? There's a double standard when it comes to being responsible for debt, and unlike the Federal Reserve, the people of this country can't print more money when needed. Day of Jubilee has created a successful program designed for people that want to stop harassing calls and threatening letters from bill collectors. This is not a debt consolidation company. Join the thousands of Americans who now breathe a sigh of relief because they have legally eliminated their credit card debt. Instead of living each day in fear, it's time to turn your life around. Call Day of Jubilee, open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Central Standard Time at 920-293-8024. That's 920-293-8024. And ask for Robert. Don't wait any longer to get your life back in order.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
Well, you've heard it said in talk radio that the real discussions go on during the breaks, but the good part is we got the videotapes rolling here, so we're going to be putting this on the web at prisonplanet.tv. Vicki Karp, there's some news stories you want to get into. Election ex-officials get 18-month sentences. This is out of the mainstream news, but again, it's back of the newspaper, plain dealer, should be a national story. Instead, it's Anna Nicole Smith and her baby, and who's going to get the baby, still, you know, 2 months into this. Bruce O'Dell, finish up the point you were making in the break. You talked about how they're also fixing the exit polls now to mesh with what they're doing. This shows a clear architecture designed for fraud. I mean, you can really see what's happening.
Oh, yeah. Remember, exit polls are great up to 2000. They blew up in Florida. The company said, we'll do better. In 2002, not only did they not do better, they did so badly they went out of business and never released the exit polls for the first time. In 2004, a new company picked up, and they said, no, we're going to do it right this time. And they had the greatest exit poll discrepancy of all time, which seemed to indicate that John Kerry won the election 51-48 instead of the reverse, losing the election 51-48. And so that was the final straw. The exit poll companies now calibrate their exit poll results to the official tallies as the official tallies come in. And we saw in election night 2006, the initial cut of the exit polls were released as polls were closing on the East Coast, and they seemed to show the polls, exit polls taken during the day, matched some public opinion polls. It showed the Democrat generic House vote was about 11.5 points ahead of the Republicans. Over the course of the evening, as the vote rolled in, we've documented, Jonathan Simon and I at the Election Defense Alliance have documented as the evening progressed how the numbers were statistically weighted to match the official results. So by doing that, they diluted the Democratic participation in the overall sample in a way that left a fingerprint.
And that's only one layer of it that you're looking at, and then you're looking at the voting machines themselves. Then you've got knocking the black voters and others off the rolls. I mean, there's a whole bunch of other strategies, you know, that overlay into this. But specifically, I'd like to talk about your websites. What websites, what organizations, where should people go to see the cold, hard data that I've got here in front of me that you and your colleagues have put together in a scholarly, technical way?
Well, the main site for you to check is electiondefensealliance.org.
Electiondefensealliance.org. We've got links to that up on InfoWars.com right now.
And I always recommend Bev Harris's website, blackboxvoting.org. It's incredible, and as well as votersunite.org.
Now, here's the good news. I want to put some good news out in the scary forecast and you know, looking back as well. But I do want to look forward to what's coming up in the next election from the research you guys have done. I was talking about this again 12 years ago, and people were calling and going, there's not fraud, nothing's going on. Then 5 years ago, people started listening, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, but it's accelerated. Now it is a major issue, but the media spins it like, oh, it's just a problem. So the good news is the people are awake, but the bad news is the mainstream media keeps saying, okay, it's a problem. No. It's not a problem for a bank robber. It's not like somebody slipped on the ice. If a bank robber goes in and robs a bank, there is a crime being committed. There is something orchestrated. This is being done by design. It's not a problem. And I see this political, not just what they're doing stealing the election, but also the political answer. First, they made it a left-right issue of, well, you know, the Republicans were saying, oh, that's just those dumb liberals, mad they're losing, they're just throwing fits. And then when the Democrats had, I'd say, a small victory compared to what the polls were all showing and what common sense showed, they then spin it like, well, now the Democratic leadership can say, no, see, there's real integrity because we did win. But it was establishment Democrats almost across the board, and it wasn't the huge landslide of true anti-war candidacy. It was very close margins, especially in the Senate. And so you put all that together, it doesn't fit with the data. In fact, it doesn't not just, you know, not fit a little bit. It's way off in scales that just, you know, there. And again, I'm not a Democrat, folks. I cut my teeth being a Republican. I mean, this is the facts here. And there's nothing more scary than people thinking they're free and having our process being hijacked.
Well, and the risk here is extremely scary to me. The true risk is because everything gets calibrated to the official election results. Now, exit polls, the selection criteria for even appearing in a public opinion poll is called a likely voter cutoff model. All of these things are calibrated to the official vote. So by gradually tweaking the dials in one direction, you can create the illusion of a manufactured majority. And everything that you can see politically reinforces that illusion.
And that the proof that the fraud's there is not just the machines and the engineers going public and people going to jail and all of your analysis and many other heroes. The proof is there that they are tweaking. The proof is that they are calibrating. Long segment coming up. Plenty of time to get into all this in great detail and to talk about it. You're going to be testifying before the legislature. We really appreciate both of you, and I appreciate you coming down to Texas to do this.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Did you ever wonder how an opera singer that hits a high note is able to shatter a wine glass? Well, the glass has a natural resonance. If the resonant frequency force making the glass vibrate is big enough, the size of the vibration will become so large that the glass shatters. Using a similar principle, Royal Raymond Rife discovered that disease organisms can be destroyed using different resonant frequencies. The BioSolutions frequency instrument uses the same technology for relief or elimination of pain and disease conditions with no side effects. The 2006 BioSolutions Plus is the easy to operate frequency instrument ever developed. Its easy reference guide will allow you to begin using the instrument within minutes. Simple step-by-step instructions using pictures are easy to follow. Customer satisfaction is guaranteed or your money back. Don't just treat symptoms. Eliminate the cause. For more information, call BioSolutions toll-free 1-866-885-6625. That's 1-866-885-6625. 1-866-885-6625.
Automakers in the oil industry are in a fuel fight. Automakers claim gasoline quality doesn't measure up. Is your vehicle performing like it should? Now there's SFR Green, performance technologies for a clean planet. SFR Green's Protecta reduces emissions and improves fuel economy, meeting automakers' new standards. So do something green. For a special offer with free shipping, go to greengasadditive.com. Or to locate a retailer, go to greengasadditive.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
Craig Walcott, chartered financial consultant and host of the Dead Doctors Don't Lie radio program and million-dollar earner in the network marketing field since 1989. I certainly know what it takes to succeed. I also know without proper tools, your chance for significant income in the network marketing field can quickly fade. The sad truth is that 99% of the people who enter network marketing will never spend the time nor money to develop the skills they need. That's where MLM Incorporated steps in. No matter what network marketing venture you're involved in, MLM Incorporated can provide you the successful tools you need to truly succeed. A subscription to MLM Incorporated will provide you access to the 3-hour Industrial Revolution of Network Marketing Seminar, where you will learn to perform at a level you never thought possible. Radio, TV, internet, direct mail will all be at your fingertips. Weekly training calls, no additional charge. Plus so much more can't be mentioned in 60 seconds. Visit MLMIncorporated.com to hear how you can become one of the elite income earners in the network marketing field. MLMIncorporated.com, where your success is guaranteed.
Welcome back, my friends. Bruce Odell is joining us in studio as well as Vicki Karp. I do want to take some time out right now to encourage all the listeners to visit the Secure Online video and bookstore there on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. We have a Yahoo shopping cart there that we've had for many years, and it's got hundreds of items. My films, other films, some of the best books on a host of issues, all available at Infowars.com. Bruce, let's get into the actual technical aspects, and that's where you're the real expert on this, the technical aspects, and then I want to get into fraud. Election officials get 18 months in Ohio, and get Vicki Karp's take on that. And Vicki, you chime in any time here as well. Looking just at fraud itself, how the machines are designed, what we know about some of the companies, and there's thousands of examples of things that have happened that let us know that there's fraud going on.
Well, you know, especially if you're using push-button direct recording electronic machine, touchscreen voting without a paper trail, even without a paper trail, although paper trail is no solution. Well, you're basically, it's like you're handing your ballot to a guy behind a curtain and trusting him to record it accurately. And you know, in the world I work in, there's absolutely no reason to trust somebody with something that important.
And it's pretty easy to design it where it is verifiable, so why are they pushing, saying, no, 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 no record, no, no paper ballots, no. I mean, I do want to talk about solutions as well, but that's the key point here is they're telling us just trust us and then doing everything they can to block us from finding out even how it works.
Well, yeah, well, they say that's security by obscurity, which is nonsense, because again, in the financial services world, we exchange open information about all of our transactions with everybody that's involved, and we have strong proof of identity. In the voting world, it's illegal to keep track of who voted which way and share that information with anyone else. So you can't possibly audit an electronic voting system to the same standard that you do in a bank. It's not even apples and oranges, because those are both fruits. It's fish and bicycles. They're two completely different things. And so we're sold a technical bill of goods. You push a button on a screen, it lights up with the name of your favorite candidate, say Kinky Friedman, and you leave the polling place. How do you know it actually internally registered a vote for Kinky Friedman in the memory card?
Well, here's the other thing. Polls have always, especially the scientific and respected ones, have been pretty darn accurate, between 3 to 5% up or down, but you generally they were accurate. Now we see people winning, like Senator Hagel, who's behind in polls, but then wins by a landslide. We see people like Michael McCaul, right here in Texas, behind in polls, but wins by a landslide. And then now we're seeing national trends. I mean, in the past, if 70%+ of people were against a war, they'd quit it real fast, or people would get thrown out of office. Now it's just, we don't care, and this is the way it is. And, I mean, it's really scary.
Well, yeah, I mean, voting is the right that secures all of our other rights. So if we can't vote people out of office that have corrupted, you know, an election system or abusing their powers, we're stuck. We're serfs in an empire. We're no longer citizens of a republic until we get back the right to vote.
Now here's a report, and again, there's hundreds of these, but election officials get 18 months sentences convicted of rigging 2004 county recount. And it says 18 months in prison for rigging a recount of the 2004 presidential election. Again, this should be national news. Vicki Karp, it's not. We see these reports all the time.
It's absolutely unbelievable. And, I mean, there's so much about this whole topic that is, to me, I keep thinking that I've seen it all until something like this comes up. But I've been using that article and one other that I brought with me today to make the argument that, to counter an argument that's made on behalf of the people who are saying, let's add printers to these fraudulent electronic voting machines and have a paper audit trail so that we can have recounts and we can have audits. And so here's an example of why you can't count on a recount. When the stakes are high, the recount is simply rigged. And that's what happened in Ohio in Cuyahoga County, Cleveland, in 2004. Here's the problem. It is now April 2007, and just 2 weeks ago, these women got their 18-month sentences, and we're being told that this did not affect the presidential race. How do we know that? So you can't count a recount. And then the other article that I brought today has to do with auditing, because all the paper trail proponents say, well, if you at least audit a certain percentage of all the paper trails or the paper receipts, then you'll know if the election was accurate or not, and you can go back and check it. Well, here's an article that I brought today that says that ES&S, the largest vendor of electronic voting machines in the country, actually dictated the terms of an audit to Florida, to the state election official in Florida, for a contested election that ended up in a lawsuit where the Democratic candidate lost by 369 votes, yet 18,000 people showed up and voted and did not vote in that race. That's referred to as the undervote.
Well, there have been lots of famous cases where a guy's running for mayor in Arkansas, and he and his wife and his friends all vote, and he doesn't get one vote.
Right. Well, that's just typical of the sort of irregularities, if you will, that come up all the time.
Now, what about flipping? That's what we saw because, you know, back in the 80s and 90s, I mean, I remember covering elections in 1998 in Austin, and the city had their cameras on, you know, we had a city cable channel, that Access TV, but it's the city access, and they had a camera on the computer screen showing it, and I'm watching this proposal to steal a bunch of land, a big land grab. It was under an environmental guise, but it was to give it to some corporations, which they later did build, you know, 5-star golf course on it, and I'm watching this, and the prop was losing, and suddenly it flips, and I'm going, excuse me? And then later I learned that that's the classic tactic, and then I've talked to my mother, who's pretty smart, but a lot of others here in Austin, they'll go think that they're voting for somebody, and it'll say that name, and then it'll flip and say they voted. They're going, help me, and then the technician comes over and says, don't worry about it, it's working fine, or the machine's all shut down, and then special technicians come in, and they ask, who are these people? We don't know. I mean, this is getting weird. I mean, what about flipping?
Well, actually, you know, from a common sense computer security perspective, you'd think that'd be the last thing that somebody would want to do. If you're going to manipulate the vote, you don't want to leave a trace behind. You don't want it to be visible. You want it to occur behind the scenes so you won't be detected. So actually, I think it's a deliberate tactic. In computer security, we call it a denial of service attack. Let's assume that you set up machines in the strongholds of a certain candidate or party, that they're programmed to be hypersensitive, they're programmed to flip votes back and forth randomly, and you know what's going to be the result? Somebody's going to either not see it, in which case you flipped a vote for your candidate, or they're going to see it, and that's probably even better because somebody's going to freak out. They're going to bring over a poll worker. They're going to try re-voting again. They're going to get it. So they're going to slow down the voting process. They're going to bring over a poll worker.
And we've seen that in the last two big elections is that people can't vote. Like a third of them leave. It's like midnight. They go, sorry.
Remember those block-long lines in Franklin County, Ohio, in election night 2004, Hocking County, Ohio as well.
So it's dirty tricks.
It's. I think that you know, some of it is, you know, doubtless just sloppy programming. There's certainly a lot of evidence of just poor programming practices that never get corrected.
Well, it's also, from some of the experts I've talked to, and I'll see if you concur, Bruce, it's also, these are sophisticated, some of the systems are sophisticated, very, very sophisticated at manipulating and putting in algorithms where it only shaves votes or adds a few here and there to get what you want, but that by flipping it, that's basically low-level people who are stealing it locally, not really knowing how to manipulate it properly and just doing something simple.
Okay, well, knowing what I know about how electronic voting is set up in America, if I was an unscrupulous person who wanted to take control and wanted to take power, I would set up two tiers. I would set up the first tier, which is you could explain as sloppy programming, but are really security vulnerabilities that are, you know, unadvertised features of the system. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. There's this backdoor administrative access you can use to correct the vote totals if your database gets corrupted. And that can be used, I think, to implicate people, to get them to buy your machines, to keep using them, to you know, actually fear having them taken away because they in some way are complicit in this kind of petty low-level fraud, the kind of thing you saw in Texas in 48 or in Washington State in 2004, the magic boxes of votes suddenly appearing here and there.
And so they're even selling them with a wink, wink, that's a nod, nod, oh, you can play with this if there's a, quote, problem, but really it's got the wireless system built into it or a program. How does this fraud work?
Well, I'm not making this up. This is actually documented in internal Diebold memos on the Black Box Voting website and you know, King County in Washington, Seattle.
Isn't that
Washington.
The problem? Is there's too much evidence here?
Yeah, well, it's mind-boggling.
Go over it, sorry.
But that's, you know, whether that's deliberate or accidental or wink, wink, nudge, nudge, there's that level. And that's the traditional way elections are manipulated locally, retail, hands-on in America. And it's friction. One party can do it. The other party can do it. You know, nobody gets a significant advantage in the long term. The scary part is I would put in a vendor-specific tier two layer.
It's this vertical integration.
Right. I would put capabilities, build capabilities into the original version of the software that could be parameterized, that all I would have to do is send a particular parameter or a number to a particular location in memory at a particular time and date, and it would trigger certain behaviors that would be impossible to detect other than monitoring the votes that pass through that machine during an election.
So it triggers a built-in algorithm.
Right. So again, now I'm not, there's absolutely no proof for this, but, you know, in my profession, I'm paid a lot of money to reason inductively, look at a pattern of facts, and
lo and behold,
figure,
that's how you find the fraud usually.
Yeah, try and figure what could possibly be explaining this pattern of facts. And
that's Occam's razor, whatever most simply describes it, in that it's fraud. It is the most simple. You just don't have computers magically doing this all across the board and then have cover-ups and saying, don't look under the hood.
Well, I'm not the only person that this would have occurred to. It's the way that you would take over the United States without spending a dime?
But nobody wants power. They wouldn't do that.
Yeah, and there's no tanks in the streets if you do it that way. Everybody thinks that the country is just drifting in one direction, and that's the way it is.
But long term, how are they going to keep that illusion going as it goes to, again, major polls, 75%+ against the war, when it's 90%, when it's 95%? I mean, at what point, or you know, 90% don't want a North American Union, so they just say it doesn't exist while they implement it?
Well, they're calibrating public opinion polls to the official vote tallies, so they'll just stop sampling so many people that are opposed to the way things are.
Or they'll have computers and sample key people in certain demographics.
Yeah, precisely.
Solutions. How do we stop this?
Well, locally here in Texas, Vote Rescue has spearheaded a hand-counted paper ballot bill. We have our we refer to it as our bill. We're sort of possessive about it because our founder, Karen Rennick, wrote quite a bit of it. But it's HB 3894, and it basically would eliminate all electronic voting in the state of Texas. And that's one of the reasons that we've been working here locally and lobbying with the House Committee on Elections, because we've been working to give them more distinctions on their information about electronic voting and why adding printers won't work, because there are at least three or four bills at the state level that would add printers to electronic voting.
And let's explain that. Now, in the past, they would have bubble scantrons. Those were still fed into memory banks or into tapes.
Right.
And then we tried to do a recount, and they said, sure, pay $100,000,
right,
and we're just going to run the same scantrons through the same machines. And see, I knew in 96 there was fraud because I went and volunteered, and they actually paid me. I said, oh, here to volunteer. They go, no, you get $5 an hour or whatever. And I sat in there stacking them. And, half of them were Pat Buchanan or more in the Republican primary. And then, and I went and covered the debates. One of my pictures got published in a major magazine, but that's a side issue. The point is, I was really trying to learn about politics at that time. I'd just gotten on air. And I was down there watching that, Vicky, and I was asking other people. I was saying, well, you're from other precincts. I was in the main counting office, you know, just getting the scantron stacked. And I was looking, Pat Buchanan was more than half. He got like 6% in Travis County. And I was going, man, something's wrong. And I was talking to other people, and I said, because obviously when you're stacking those, you're looking at them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't know the name, you know, you're looking. But I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, that's such a good point. I'm glad you brought it up, Alex, because a lot of, even across the country, there's all this publicity going, like, for example, in Florida, the governor's saying, okay, we're not going to have any more DREs, which means touchscreen machines. We're just going to have paper ballots. But they're going to count them on these optical scan counters. And that's something that we really are trying to educate people about. These optical scan counters have the same basic software, in the case of Diebold, the same central tabulator software that can easily be hacked. And this Hacking Democracy DVD, which just came out, and this is the HBO documentary that tracks Bev Harris and her investigation.
You have those? I want to carry those.
Here.
No, okay.
That one is for you, and you can just get on the website and order more. And I thought that would be something you might want to
good.
Carry.
What website do folks go to get this?
HackingDemocracy.com. And we're going to be showing parts of that film at a luncheon tomorrow for legislators, but the public is invited, if I can throw this in right now.
I'll do it over and over again. Yeah,
okay. Thursday evening at the First Unitarian Church at 4700 Grover, at 7 o'clock, we're going to show Hacking Democracy, which culminates in the hacking of a real Diebold op scan in Florida.
Yeah, I've seen it on HBO, I thought, man, I'm going to carry that when it comes out. And then
just came out this week.
Okay, well, I'm going to...
That's yours.
Thank you. Now, you're going to be testifying, aren't you?
Yes.
Tell folks about that, Bruce.
Yeah, this afternoon I'll be testifying before the Committee on Elections in the State House, I think it's open to the public. It's in the State Capitol Room, E2028, that's today at 2 p.m.
Wow, so you've got to run, right?
when we leave here.
Yeah, here in about 15 minutes, yeah.
I want to echo what Vicky said. I'll be commenting specifically on some bills that are very well-intentioned in some ways to the technically naive, in that it calls for more testing of touchscreen voting equipment. It calls for being careful about who has access to the physical storage media and so on. It sounds good. It's well-intentioned.
What we need is real diagnostics, right?
But all it's doing is optimizing, you know, potentially just optimizing how we move malicious code from machine to machine. It doesn't deal with the fundamental issues. And in fact, you know, I just sincerely believe, I believe, you know, as somebody who has been involved in technology for 25 years, it's like any other business. You get a lot of products that are solutions in search of a problem, and that's certainly the case with electronic voting.
Well, it's like RFID, and then every security expert goes, this is going to make us even more open to fraud, and they're going, no, it's the new solution.
Yeah, it's the latest and greatest, and people have been sold a bill of goods by a lot of my colleagues, and I feel like I should apologize for the predicament that the information technology industry has largely dropped us all into.
So what is the solution? I mean, in a perfect world, you
don't use computers to count votes.
Right.
You need to go back to actual paper where you fill it out.
Hand counting.
There's no need to have machines count our ballots in secret. It's not a computer voting's not a computer transaction because we can't secure it. It's a civic transaction.
Now, if the system's in place, how do you remove that? Then, I mean, my idea is to have a national petition, county by county, city by city, and the national, to recall the machines and then force the readoption, because it's the only way to do it, because they've got the machines in place.
That's what we're working on here locally. That's what our bill is really all about. It's just saying we're outlawing, we would like to outlaw the use of electronic voting for the state of Texas, and we'd love to see it happen at the national level.
Sure. I mean, you know, we've spent a lot of money based on some very bad advice and maybe some calculated self-interest on basically what amounts to a lot of technical boat anchors. And by continuing to buy new computer boat anchors.
We've got to break. Final segment with our guest.
It's here. After a year in production and traveling to distant lands, my new film, Terror Storm, is complete. Shocking declassified government documents prove that Western governments are orchestrating terror attacks against their own populations as a pretext to enslave them. Terror Storm proves that not only was 9/11 an inside job, but the attacks of 7/7 in London were carried out by British intelligence. Terror Storm chronicles the lies that took us to war in Iraq, a White House program to disseminate fake news, NSA spying, secret police torture, the latest 9/11 information, and much, much more. Terror Storm is the definitive guide to the history of government-sponsored terrorism. It's an anthology of government crimes. Terror Storm is a film that everyone who wants to be truly informed must see. Get your copy today at Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com or by calling toll-free 1-888-253-3139 or watch it right now online at PrisonPlanet.tv.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2-pack for only $99 or a 4-pack for only $188 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at berkeywater.com.
People who use Cartavite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartavite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartavite.
In our mind, there isn't such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartavite, and you see someone who could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs, few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well thought out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at www.heartdrop.com. That toll free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
In 1 hour and 5 minutes, Bruce O'Dell and Vicki Karp are going to be down there. Are both of you going to be testifying today before the committee?
Bruce is our star today.
Well, again, give folks that committee room in 1 hour.
Right.
People need to get down there if you're on, take an extended lunch or you're not working today. Or this is important. Get down there.
It's going to be at 2 o'clock at the Capitol Room, E2.028. And Bruce will have pretty much the first, they may have a few minutes intro, and then he'll have the first 20 minutes of that hearing. And then tomorrow, I'd just like to briefly mention our events tomorrow. We have a press conference going on also at the Capitol, 11:15. And we'll have several speakers there, including Bruce and some others, very interesting. And that's going to be 11:15 at the Capitol, room E2.002. And then the last event I want to mention is, again, the Unitarian Church event at 4700 Grover on Thursday, tomorrow evening.
And you're going to be showing?
We're going to be showing Hacking Democracy, and Bruce will be doing his presentation for the public. And then I just want to mention that we hope that anyone that's in support of hand counted paper ballots, they can get on Vote Rescue. I think we have a link to how to find out who your representative is. We need sponsors for that bill.
Well, I would just add, there's nothing more important than defending the integrity of the election system. I mean, that sounds like a no-brainer, but it's simple. But it's so integral, and it's at the very base and foundation of our society. And they told us to shut up 10 years ago, 5 years ago. They said we were kooks. Now it's a mainstream issue. We're not going away, and it's beautiful what Bruce and you, Vicki, are doing. Bruce, you've got about 2 or 3 minutes. Closing comments for folks out there. Key points, solutions, ideas to get the original paper ballots back.
Yeah, well, first of all, I advise anybody that's not particularly technical, if you're trying to sort out what people, so-called experts are talking about in regard to voting issues and electronic voting security issues, ask them where they get their money from. Yeah, I think you'll find that a lot of my colleagues that make a very good living indeed consulting for voting companies, certifying software, developing software, trying to build a better mousetrap, those folks are going to have a different perspective than I do. The perspective I have is, first of all, I still don't know what the problem is that we're trying to solve with electronic voting. I mean, let's say voting is a civic transaction. It's not a computer transaction, by which I mean, citizens all over the country, and, in countries like Canada and in Italy and in Ireland and in Australia, all over the world, even in war zones, in Iraq, in Palestine, under very trying circumstances, people gather together and they vote in public. They store the votes in the precinct, and at the end of the day, everyone gathers around.
And that's publicly announced, and then they tally them.
And they tally them in public.
And it was fun. You'd go down and hang out and have a barbecue going. It was in front of everybody.
Yeah, right, exactly. And that's the checks and balances that this country was founded on. The founding fathers knew about human nature. They knew that if something that would give you access to power could be corrupted, it would be corrupted. And the only way to prevent that from happening is checks and balances. And in this case, voting is the most important transaction we do, and there's no reason why the people themselves shouldn't do it. I mean, you mean the average precinct in the U.S. is 500 voters. Do my colleagues mean to say that we can't trust our fellow citizens to count up to 250 in public once every 2 years?
It's not rocket.
So it's not rocket science.
Exactly. And it also decentralizes it, just going back to what you said about it.
There'll be friction, there'll be problems.
By the way, there's going to be fraud here or there, but it's not that unified fraud, the man on the white horse, that the founding fathers were so worried about.
Yeah, exactly. The remote control fraud doesn't happen. And the most important thing is people need to have a sense that they own the process, that they trust the outcome. Even if your candidate doesn't win, if you know there was an honest tally of your neighbors, you can live with the end result.
And no doubt, as a fraud expert, you look at this architecture, it appears to be designed for fraud.
There's so many known vulnerabilities, and God only knows how many unknown. It must be designed that way.
Copies of the preceding broadcast are available at gcnlive.com or call toll-free 877-300-7645.